TRXMuscle.com brings you a special breaking news presentation from Muscle Girls, Inc., the next generation. Here's your host, Christina Voynich.
Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc. I am very excited to be chatting with IFBB figure pro Alicia Harris today. Alicia, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I am very, very excited to be speaking with you. I think you had a pretty good year last year, and then also I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how it's like to travel to Australia when you're dieting, because I can't imagine that that's very fun. And then also want to talk about you're getting ready for a show this weekend. So tell us what you're prepping for right now.
I'm prepping for the Pittsburgh Pro Show on May the 7th, the Saturday.
And how's it coming along so far? How are you feeling?
It's coming. I kind of had a boost from Arnold and the Australian Pro Show. Took like a mini, like two-day break, and then just got back at it and just try to get control of myself mentally and physically, spiritually, all those realms to try to just get it together and get on stage and have a good showing.
You know, I know a lot of people, you know, you've already now qualified for the Olympia, and I know people obviously do one of two things. They decide to just kind of take a break. A lot of the men might decide to just take a break for the rest of the year, try to put on some size, try to make improvements, and then, you know, compete at the big show. Other people decide, well, you know, maybe I can do one or two shows. So what was your reasoning then for deciding to roll from the Australian Pro Show into Pittsburgh?
Well, us, compared to the bodybuilders, we don't have to diet as strict as them. We still diet strict, but it's not as hard as they have to do it. But I just like to do it it's good exposure. It's good for marketing ourselves to keep us on track, to keep us kind of structured so we don't, like, go too off-season, and just to stay in shape and just to know that, like, we're still out there, still trying to make improvements and still, you know, trying to get a check. Everybody wants one of those top three placings to get some money, because you don't get paid as much as the guy either. So just nice for exposure to marketing, a check hopefully, and just to stay in your structured plan throughout the year.
It's good. Kind of hold yourself accountable, and if you get paid while you're doing it, all the better, I guess.
Oh, yes.
Well, I want to talk to you about Australia. You know, I've been to Australia now twice. The first time I went, I was dieting for a show. I was about 3 weeks out or so. And the second time when I went earlier this year, I wasn't dieting. So it is like a 15-hour plane ride from, you know, L.A. to Australia. So kind of walk us through kind of your prep, your planning. What did you have to prepare knowing that you were going to be taking this really long trip, you know, a week before, like, kind of say, what was your game plan going into it?
Well, just coming right off of Arnold, I know I had to tighten it up a lot, so I had to stay real strict on my diet after the Arnold. I flew to L.A., my best friend's out there, so I just stayed there, like, a night, and then we left for Australia at night, so I kind of slept almost the whole way through, so I didn't have time to think about food or whatever. So I just prepped for just if I got hungry and just to have that food on the plane, just to get a few meals in, because after we got off Australia, we had to throw the food away anyway, so I didn't make that much. And we were so taken care of in Australia. We had chicken, rice, vegetables, everything, like, prepared for us already, so we didn't have to go to the grocery store, rush, spend all this money for food, because it was, like, prepared for us. Like, it was a really great ranch show, and, like, I loved every aspect of it. We were treated so great, and definitely, I'm actually invited back next year, so I'm looking forward to that. But it wasn't bad. The flight was not bad.
Good. You know, it's one of those things everyone says, oh, goodness, I don't think I could ever take that long of a trip. But when you're actually on the plane, you can sleep for at least like 75% of the time. The hardest part maybe was getting the sleep schedule right once you got there. How was your sleep schedule once you got there and were there for a few days?
Well, I was tired and exhausted anyways, but we just tried to stay up as long as we could because we got there, and it was, like, so loud. It was the beginning of the day, so we just tried to stay up as long as we could, even though we were, like, super tired. It was nighttime over in the U.S., so we just tried to, like, keep ourselves up. We had coffee, just caffeinated drinks, our ADVON drinks for energy, but just stay, like, acclimated and try to sleep when it was nighttime in Australia and try to just break ourselves out of the U.S. time. So, I mean, it didn't take too long, and it wasn't bad at all for me.
Good.
Anyway, back is another story.
I was going to say, that was my next question. Coming back, just from my experience and a lot of people that I've spoken to, coming back is even worse because let's say you leave at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. You get in to the U.S. at 5 o'clock in the afternoon that same day. So how was it coming back home?
Well, we were just up. I was up the whole time. I watched about, like, what, 7 movies. I don't even know how many movies I watched. But,
all of
like, the whole entire time, like, I'm so blessed that I wasn't have to diet because I was up the whole entire time eating all the food that they brought to me because I had nothing else to do but watch movies and eat food. So
that actually doesn't sound like a bad gig, honestly, coming back home. Oh, goodness. Well, you looked great, and, you know, I know a lot of people, including myself, were rooting for you, so you looked really great. So now we're excited to hopefully report some good news, too, after Pittsburgh for you. But wanted to ask you, too, I know your family is very, very athletic. Very athletic. And I know it's kind of built in your genes, probably. It's like in your DNA when you were born that you were kind of destined to have this amazing physique and destined to have some kind of athleticism. So tell me a little bit about your family and what then got you started into competing. Because we've talked about this before, you and I, that, you know, maybe doing track or other type of track and field or other type of sports like that doesn't necessarily always lead into bodybuilding or figure competition. So tell me a little bit about your history and then kind of what drew you to the stage.
Well, my family never were, like, bad eaters or anything. I didn't grow up with, like, fried foods or red meat or anything like that. So we ate pretty well. My dad was a former athlete. Like, he ran track and basketball and football in college. And my mom, she still to this day is a competitive, like, tennis athlete. So we ate pretty good in the house. My brother runs track right now. He's a professional track runner. My mom's from Guyana, South America, so he represents Guyana and, like, the Olympics, and, like, he just went to Trinidad and all that stuff. So he runs track, and my brother played Canadian football for a little bit. He was on some NFL teams for preseason, so he's got those genes, and they both had track records and all this kind of stuff. So I grew up in a very athletic family, and I ran collegiate track. And after I was done with that, I was working at a gym, and I went to go see a bodybuilder. One of my friends went to go see a show, and I saw the figure girls, and I was like, I could do that. Like, I just looked at them, and I was like, I could do that. So I got up on stage, and with each show, I just learned more and more and more. I didn't know really what I was doing, but met people, asked questions, had information, and it just kind of got me started in doing well in this figure world, and I just kept at it.
Now, I remember we talked before of a funny story of what the type of suit you wore and the type of preparation you did for your first show that you really had no idea what you were doing. So tell everybody kind of, not that it's an embarrassing story, but I think everybody has those memories of that first show where you've got the suit all wrong and you've got the posing all wrong. So tell us how that first show went for you.
I always think that girls, like, when they first get started, like, even I'm talking to girls, some girls right now, like, they get started because, like, their boyfriends are bodybuilders or their friends are bodybuilders. So men are training these girls to do, like, girly stuff on stage. Like, yeah, they can lift the weights and tell them, like, how to eat and stuff like that. But there's also girly stuff that we have to do on stage that was not present at my first show. Like, I had, like, a bodybuilder suit, like, hot neon green, and I put my own rhinestones on. It was cheap, too, because I was not spending a lot of money on a suit. I had, like, 3-inch heels. Like, I didn't even know what I was doing with my posing. I was just up there showing my muscles. And so I don't know. I just got up there. Like, I got fifth on my first show, and that's pretty good. My muscles were pretty banging up there on stage. But, of course, I had to have a better stage presentation. And with each show, like, I learned more and more and met more people and asked their questions and got better as I did it.
And you got better suits now. I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I borrow all the time. I'm not paying that much for elbow suits.
Yeah, I was going to say, where do you usually get your suits from? I know for me, I being a bikini competitor, I always get emails or questions like, you know, what's the best place to get a suit? Who do you usually order from? So who have you typically ordered your suits from?
Well, when I first started, I got my suits on my DJ Exchange, where you can, like, rent the suits
yep.
and put them back. Of course, I took alcohol and all that stuff to sanitize them. But then my first suit, I think, and most of the suits that I have been wearing is Christine Marsh. She's out of Colorado. Her website is ChristineMarshDesigns.com. So most of my suits are those suits. And then the ones that I borrow are her suits as well. So I give a lot of props to her. And then I also had a sponsored suit at the Olympia by Maggie Blanchard. She sponsored the suit for me. So that one was really nice. It had angel wings on it. And it was kind of like custom made. So that was really a blessing for me. I didn't have to pay for that. But I borrow suits. All my suits are mostly borrowed.
There's nothing wrong with that, especially when they cost as much as they do nowadays anyway.
I know, right?
Next question is, what do you think has been the hardest thing to overcome while you've been competing? You know, you have an amazing physique. You naturally can put on muscle, and, you know, you look good even all year long, even in the off season. But what has been the biggest obstacle for you throughout your journey to now?
I don't know if I can call it an obstacle, but I just know that it is a learning process, and I know I'm gaining wisdom with everything that I'm going through. You got to deal with, like, not only, like, discipline in your physical sense, trying to get on stage, get prepared, but mentally you got to be disciplined. Emotionally you got to be disciplined to try to get through the prepping and try to kind of stay focused and do your best in all areas so you can get on stage and be prepared and be comfortable and feel good when you're on stage. So just the whole process, I believe, is just learning experience and just gaining wisdom. I don't know if I would say it an obstacle, but just a challenge, a life challenge. It's just a personal experience that we all go through.
Absolutely. So then what do you think would be some advice that you would give to someone who's trying to kind of break into the industry, kind of a new and up-and-comer? And I know it's not as if you've been on the Olympia stage several times, but you have definitely made a name for yourself. I remember at Nationals, I think I was talking with Jen Rankin, who was rooming with you. She was like, this girl's got people in and out of our room like all day. She's meeting new people, talking to this person, talking to that person, talking about you being like a social butterfly that you know, like everybody and their mother and their mother's brother, which is awesome. So what advice then would you give for someone who wants to kind of network themselves a little bit and get to know people the way that you do?
I mean, you just got to have fun with it. You got to have just a bigger purpose for being there. Like, you can't just step on stage and be like, oh, I'm going to get first. Like, this is my whole life. I'm going to get first place when it's stuff that's out of your control. Like, you have no control over what the judges are going to like, what their opinions are, and how they're going to judge the show. So you can't really have your expectations to get first, second place. I mean, always a winner, but that can't be your sole decision for doing the show. Like, you have to have a goal that maybe you want to slim your legs down, or you want to inspire somebody else or motivate somebody else being on stage, or even just a personal goal for you, just so you know that you've stayed disciplined and you went through all that work to get up on stage. You just got to have a bigger purpose to get on stage, and then everything else should fall into place. Like, you talk to people, you network, you ask questions. I mean, you're supposed to have fun with this stuff too. Like, why do it if you're not having fun, if you're being miserable? Yeah, I am miserable sometimes, but I mean, it's just learning about yourself, about like what you want to pursue, what your passion is, just learning more about yourself. So just having just a bigger goal and a bigger purpose for being on stage, I think, and then everything else falls into place. If it's meant for you to be in the magazines, you'll be in the magazines. You'll meet people. You'll network. You'll get your personality and your face out there and exposure, and it'll fall into place.
If anything, it's all a journey of self-discovery, I think. I think everyone who decides to compete, you learn not just a lot about your body, you know, while you're dieting. You learn the ways that you can manipulate certain things within your diet and training, but also just, you know, this is a sport that's completely individual. You know, yeah, there are teams of girls that compete. There are, you know, trainers and their clients and all of that, but essentially it's 100% on you. So I think you kind of learn to get to know yourself, whether you like it or not,
yeah, no
as you're getting ready. We'll end up with, we'll do three quick questions for you that we'll hopefully have fun with. So, question number one, before we go, what would you say is, best way I could put this, I'll say your top playlist that you listen to at the gym. So not necessarily a song, but what kind of genre do you usually listen to? And if there's one song that kind of gets you going, do you have one?
Well, I listen to Pandora, which you just put in, like, Michael Jackson, and it'll play all Michael Jackson songs and Girls from Prince and Janet Jackson songs on there. But I do listen to some gospel music just to inspire me because I am, you got to motivate yourself somehow, so I need some kind of inspirational music. But on my Pandora, what makes me really happy, when I put it on the gospel channel, the Disney songs pop up, and those make me happy. Aladdin, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast. It makes me smile in the gym.
Do you ever catch yourself singing those out loud while you're at the gym? I hope not.
No, but I listen to other people. I'm like, look, this is not American Idol. Like, some people be singing so loud on the treadmill. I'm like, wow. I just jam. Like, I'll just be like moving my hands like I'm dancing, making my own like routine on the treadmill, trying to keep myself focused.
Yeah, I think you're onto something with the Disney songs, though. I mean, if there's anything that's gonna get you motivated and inspired, maybe, and happy, those are the songs to do it.
Oh, yes.
I like
it. Definitely.
I think
I've
got to
be mad. How can you be mad under the sea? You can't promise under the sea.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. When you're down and out and carb depleted and on a treadmill at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, throw on some, Little Mermaid and jam out. I like
you
it.
Know.
Very good.
Okay.
Question number two, then. What is your typical gym attire whenever you hit the gym? Whether it's just a cardio day or training day, what do you usually wear?
Hoodies, hats, sweats, all day long. I don't like wearing, well, outside I'll run in like shorts and maybe a tank top to get a tan and maybe to get some sun when it's hot outside, but in Chicago it's usually not that way. So I'll be in hoodies and I'll just cover up. I'm not one to show my muscles off or anything like that in the gym at all.
Which is funny because you were like jacked all the time, so.
Yeah, jacked, and then people would be looking at me and then asking questions, and then some people look at you weird. You'd be like, Dad, what are you looking at? Are you admiring me, or are you just like, ew, it's the girl's muscles? Like,
that's a good point. So it probably keeps you a little bit focused. What I usually do, I usually wear a hat and some headphones. That way no one will come up and talk to me if I really got to, focus in. So it's probably good. You keep the distractions away. People won't really come up and ask you questions. So very, very good. Last question then. What is your ultimate goal? Do you have one ultimate goal for your career in this industry or maybe competing?
An ultimate goal, I guess to help and inspire in any way that I can. I know my challenge is to help and inspire my own self, but if I could do that for other people, just by stepping on stage or showing myself in a picture or something like that, like, that's great. Like, my whole purpose is trying to find my purpose and why I'm doing this. Like, I know I'm doing it for a reason. I know I'm here for a reason. So just kind of finding my purpose in the whole industry to inspire more people and to motivate more people with the different avenues and networks that I have. So just trying to find that niche of mine that's going to be able to help more people. And I'm an opportunist, so whatever opportunities come about, like, I just know and I believe that good things will happen to me if I keep doing good to others and just being myself and just, praying about stuff and just believing and having my faith. So just moving along and knowing that the opportunities will come.
Positive attitude. I like it, Alicia. I like it.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell everyone how they can get a hold of you if, you have email address, Facebook, all that jazz, Twitter, tweeting, whatever. How can people get a hold of you if they want to maybe talk with you or pick your brain or anything like that?
Well, all the social networking. I am on Twitter. I put quotes up there and then sometimes just funny things that I see at the gym. So that's FigurePro LE on the Twitter. Then I'm on Facebook, but sometimes I'm not on there because I have too many friend requests, so you probably can't friend request me anyway, so that's probably best. I am sponsored by bodybuilding.com, so I am on BodySpace, so that's a good way to contact me as well. And also Optimum Nutrition is one of both of our sponsors, actually, and we have a Ripped Academy. We've just got, like, our Optimum Nutrition athlete page. Like, I'm on there on that website. And then if you just come to the show, just come up and talk to me.
Perfect. Well, Alicia, thank you for coming on to the first episode of The Next Generation for Muscle Girls, Inc. on RX. We are happy to have you, and we will be definitely looking out for you this weekend at the Pittsburgh. And maybe I was saying in the show earlier that I'm going to make sure I have my iPhone with me because I can get some quotes on my iPhone. So I'll be coming around, and I may get a quick quote from you after the show.
Yeah, after the show, I will be eating.
If I can hear you talking through, you know, your mouth full of, you know, delicious cupcakes or something, I don't know. I'll take whatever I can get, I guess. Alrighty, well, thank you, Alicia. We will talk to you in Pittsburgh.
Bye.
Muscle Girls, Inc., The Next Generation, only on RxMuscle.com.